Hello everyone, welcome to the Digital Marketing Gap, the podcast where we keep on sharing some of the informative tools, techniques, case studies and latest updates in the digital marketing domain. I'm your host Prince Kumar and today we will discuss about a social media strategy to boost e-commerce business with our guest Dennis Consort. Dennis is digital marketing consultant for startup and small business. He has been a digital marketer for about 2 decades. He has also been quoted and published in numerous publications, including INC Magazine, Entrepreneur, NASDAQ, American Marketing Association, Search Engine Journal, USA Today, and many more. Hi, Dennis. A warm welcome to our show.
It's nice to meet you, Prince. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So, Dennis, since you have more than 2 decades of experience into this industry, so we will love to know about your corporate journey.
When I graduated college, I had a degree that wasn't really applicable to what I do today. I got a degree in psychology. There's a whole story behind that. And really in that field, you have to go back and get your doctorate if you want to do anything with it. I didn't have the money to do that. I had a bunch of debt I had to pay off, so I went straight to work. I temped at a number of different companies, got to explore different industries. I ended up working full-time for an architect for a few years, and I became more or less an office manager, administrative assistant, that kind of thing. I realized that wasn't my calling in life. And started my first e-commerce business. This was in the early 2000s. And it was very similar to Netflix, but smaller, more niche. Started that business with a friend. And after about 2 years, we sold it. And I worked for the company that acquired us. And during that time, I learned how to do SEO, how to do affiliate marketing, paid search, all of those things, which were very relevant at the time. And when I worked for the company that bought us out, I learned more skills. I learned how to work more on a team. And long story short, eventually I ended up at an agency and then started my own digital marketing agency. So I served a bunch of clients. I had about 3 other agencies that partnered with me where I was providing white label services to their customers. And then I had a number of my own clients. And in that time, I was growing very fast. In fact, I grew too fast. And I had too much. It was overwhelming. And I had to just step back from it, take some time off and figure out what my next steps were. So I shut the whole thing down and needed a couple of years just to reboot. And what I realized during my time off was that I had lost my sense of purpose. I was so busy focusing on getting clients and getting the cash register to ring so that I could pay my employees and pay for my office space and all of those things, that I forgot why I was doing it in the first place. And that was the main reason why that failed. So after taking time off, I realized, you know what, I really need to just do work that matters to me. And the things that matter to me are things that are helpful to other people. So now in my reboot, I have fewer clients that pay a lot more. I have a lot less overhead. I work with more contractors, not so many employees, and I focus on industries where I believe I can bring value to the world. So, for example, one of those industries is health and wellness. I had my own health and wellness issues, particularly during the time when I had to shut my company down. It wasn't a good time in my life, and I'm still recovering from a lot of that right now. So I enjoy doing health and wellness work for those kinds of clients because I know that when I do a really good job for them, they help so many other people. They help their customers through the work that I do. I also do work for companies that help small businesses. This is another passion of mine because I come from the startup world. I come from the small business world. I come from figuring out how to grow a company from practically nothing into something that someone else found value in and acquired. And I want to help other people realize that too. And I want to also help other people through the tough times that I know that small businesses face, particularly now we've had lockdowns in response to COVID and all of these mandates that have impacted businesses where they had to shut down or where they couldn't serve as many customers as they used to. These things matter. This is people's livelihoods. And more than that, I know that when here in America, when people see small businesses, and I assume it's the same where you are too, when somebody is successful with their small business, it gives other people hope because other people see it and they say, you know what, this person did well. They figured it out. Maybe I can do that. And it inspires other people to develop more of that ownership mentality. And that's what I really like. So that's where I am today. My agency is smaller. I have fewer clients. They pay a lot more. And the work I do is much more meaningful so that when I spend many hours per week working on things, I know that I get joy out of it in addition to whatever results I get for my clients.
Definitely. So the thing you have mentioned, you know, that is perfectly that we should be working on the things that make us happy. And definitely since you worked a lot of things, like you started your agency, but then somewhere you were not happy. And no, while you're working upon, and then the main objective that you have highlighted that since you see small businesses grow, that makes even you happier. So that is, you know, a best thing that I have heard.
Yeah, happiness is important. We only have one life. And what these lockdowns did show us, there were a lot of terrible outcomes because of this. And understandable, COVID is a terrible disease and we didn't know how to deal with it. There were some good outcomes. And one good outcome was that people began to realize that we are mortal. Our lives are limited. And we should spend as much of our lifetimes doing things that bring us joy and potentially bring joy to other people.
Perfect. So, Jenny, since you have been working into this digital marketing domain, you have worked into all the different verticals, which might be SEO, the paid search, affiliate marketing, social media, even email marketing. So can you let us know if there is any vertical that is, you know, somewhere near to your heart or, you have been working upon in all of them?
I'm a process person. And what that means is I like to look at things in terms of what is the problem I want to solve and then how do I back into that problem and solve it. And so what that means is that I like all of the things. I like SEO, I like social media, I like email marketing, all of the ways that you drive traffic to a website or a company. And I like to frame the work that I do in the context of a funnel, a digital marketing funnel. So the idea is that you figure out what your end goal is, and then you figure out, okay, how do I just build awareness at the top of the funnel? How do I just get a bunch of people in who are aware of my company or whatever it is that I'm marketing? And then how do I drive them down their own journey towards the point of conversion? And sometimes that means filling the funnel through social media. Sometimes it means filling the funnel through paid search. Sometimes it means other things. And once you have people in that funnel, then that's where you start engaging them. And same thing, do you engage them on your website, to engage them through social media, through email, through podcasts? How do you engage your people so that you start building trust with your customers and you start building authority and eventually you start turning these people who heard about your company into customers? When I started out as a digital marketer, I was so focused on what I would call the bottom of the funnel. So I focused almost entirely on SEO, and I went for keywords that were high converting keywords. And this was good in terms of getting a return on the work that was put into SEO, or in terms of paid search, getting a return on whatever that ad spend was. But really, it wasn't the big picture. And eventually I opened my eyes and realized that, you know what, this is just such a small segment of potential customers for your business. And that's where I started getting into more of the social media and other ways to drive traffic and to build awareness.
So definitely this is what, you know, we have been seeing, especially in India. Definitely this might be varied somewhere to other countries also, that we have seen that starting an e-commerce business, it's a bit easy if you have some good products. But sustaining in this competitive market is the toughest part. How do you see it?
It's a really good question. I think when you look at your business, you have different areas. You have your operations, which is, okay, what are my products? How do I fulfill on those products? How do I serve my customers? You also have marketing, sales, and other things. And I do believe that marketing is what will ultimately decide whether your business is successful or not. And there are many different ways to market. If you have an e-commerce business, what I would suggest is to first start looking at what you already have in terms of being able to market that business. So if you have a bricks and mortar store where customers are coming in, great. Figure out how to first leverage that in order to drive people to your e-commerce business. If you have a network, like for example, you're very popular on Facebook or LinkedIn or something, you got lots of friends, great. Start promoting your business to them, because they're people who already know you. They probably, hopefully, like you and trust you. So they're going to be much more likely to buy from you than strangers you find on the internet. So that could be a good way to start building a foundation for your business. Then you're going to have to dig into your numbers and figure out, okay, what do I want to target in terms of my cost to acquire a new customer? What can I afford? And what does that mean in terms of profitability over their lifetime? So one of the mistakes that a lot of people in e-commerce make is they just think short term. They think, well, if I spend, I'm just making some numbers up. If I spend $20 and I acquire a new customer and they spend $20 with me on their first purchase, I've made zero. In fact, I've lost money because there are costs involved. But the bigger picture is to think about that lifetime value of the customer. So if you bring a customer into your funnel, you want to think about, okay, how many times realistically will this person buy from me again in the future? And let's say you expect them to buy 10 more times over the next several years. Well, their lifetime value is more like 10 times 20 or $200. So if you can get them to make those additional purchases at a low cost, then you're seeing really good profitability. So start thinking in that mindset in terms of, okay, what is my cost to acquire a customer? And then how much do I expect them to spend over their entire lifetime? And what that amounts to is keeping people engaged, right? So once you get somebody into your funnel, you drive them towards the point of conversion, they make the purchase. Now you want to think about building loyalty. And what does that come from? It comes from engaging people, building more trust, and making them feel like they're part of a community. So you could have a product. Let's say you sell blue widgets. There are thousands of companies that sell blue widgets. Great. How do you make yourself different? One way is by making your product unique or your service unique. So you have something unique that separates it from everything else. The other thing you can do is build a community around your product and services. So now maybe there's many other companies that sell blue widgets just like you, but maybe your service is a little bit more personal. Maybe the way you connect with your customers feels more real in this digital space. You do that, and you've got a good shot at getting people to spend more money with you because they believe in you and they like your product.
Now, coming to the social media part. So, what are the social media strategies with which one can boost their e-commerce business?
It's a good question. And I think it goes back to looking at your funnel. So you have, you want to build awareness at the top. You want to build more interest in your company as people learn more about it. And then you want to get people to actually make a purchase. So when you think about how you use social media, you want to think about it in each of those different places along the customer journey. And what I would start with is just thinking about where you are today. So if you have no customers at all, zero customers, then you probably want to start building more awareness, right? So that means just getting your content in front of people, showing them your products, and building your list of potential customers. So for example, you might put up some Facebook ads where you advertise your blue widget to people whose interests are what you would expect them to be for people who would buy your blue widget, right? You're getting those people into your list where now if they've clicked the ads, you can send them more ads that are more targeted, that are more towards the conversion side. And you can get them, hopefully some people will sign up for your email list, subscribe to your page, all those things. So that's the awareness piece. You can also think about which platforms you're targeting. So for example, Facebook has come a really, or I should say Meta, has come a really long way with the way that you can advertise your products on there. I remember in the beginning, I had zero belief that you could turn ads on Facebook into paying customers. I didn't think it was possible when they first started because the user intent wasn't there. People were just there to hang out and it was a brand new platform. But over time, they adjusted their algorithm. They figured out how to follow people's interests and how to make it easier for advertisers to put the right ads in front of the right people. So even if they're not looking to purchase something, they're at least the right audience. And you get in front of them, and then when they're ready to purchase, you're already there, you're already in their head. There are some newer platforms that I would absolutely recommend. Of course, everybody's still talking about TikTok. It's one of the platforms where you can still grow organically very quickly, and you can advertise on there. And if you think about audiences, TikTok also skews much younger than a platform like Facebook. So think about, I would use a platform like TikTok to fill the top of the funnel with maybe younger people where they may not be your customers today, but eventually they're going to be your customers. And so I would think about that, and then just think about the mix along the way. So you also want to think about what the different intentions are on the different platforms. Meaning, if I'm on Facebook, there are things I can do. I can probably have a deeper conversation with somebody on Facebook than on a platform like TikTok or Instagram. I can probably join a group and engage in those kinds of conversations. I probably see some news in my feed on Facebook. Right, that's a different audience than, let's say, somebody who's on TikTok and they're swiping through videos. So when you think about the different audience, think about how the content should be different and how your goals might be different. You might even look at ways to use some platforms for building more awareness, right? So TikTok might be more for the awareness side and other platforms more towards the conversion side. So that's probably one way to look at it. The other thing I would say is you have to take an inventory of your resources. And by that, I mean you need to think about what talent you have, whether you have social media skills or you have people on your team who are skilled, particularly if you have younger people. Young people tend to be very aware of what works on social media. So you might want to talk to them about their ideas, because they may have some fresh things that they haven't even thought of. You also want to think about budget. Can you afford to create video content, or do you need to stick to just images and those kinds of things? The good news now is almost everybody carries a mobile device with them. So even if you can't afford a professional videographer, there's a lot of video content that you can create just using your phone. And oftentimes for certain types of businesses, that type of content works very well. One other thing you can think about is, when it comes to video content, think about who your existing customers are, because they can help you drive business. So for example, if you were to figure out a way to incentivize your customers to do a little 20-30 second selfie where they're using your product or offering a testimonial or something like that, that could be tremendously valuable in bringing new customers and building more interest in what it is you have to sell. So there are tons of ways to use these platforms, and it really comes down to thinking about your business and your audience.
Perfectly said. So you have, you know, rightly said about the video content also, that since TikTok, you know, it's being on, let's say, Instagram is also, you know, much popular in terms of small businesses, in terms of driving sales. So one thing that is the key thing, or, you know, one thing that is into the center point is they provide a video content that is, you know, the young generation that they are generally consuming. Because when I see, you know, 2 years or let's say 3 years back, we were more focused towards having a good blog content of, let's say, you know, 1,000 words, or having an infographics content. But if we see the trend of nowadays, youngsters don't have that much time. The reason why podcast become kind of one of the popular medium was because even people want to have, listening the things or listening the conversation and doing their normal, activities. So definitely these are the trends, and if we adopt that trend, then only this will help us to reach to our target audience on their mode, or, you know, on their interest area on which they are feeling comfortable, and definitely that will help us to gain more business.
Yeah, I agree. We have been conditioned to have a much shorter attention span because of the way that social media works, because of the way our biology works. We're addicted to dopamine and neurotransmitters, and when we get likes on our posts, that gives us it makes us feel good.
Yeah.
So now let's think about rats in a cage, right? I studied psychology. We did experiments with rats. And what you find, for example, there's this famous experiment. You have a rat in a cage, and they press a button and they get a little food pellet. And over time, and sometimes there's like they tested even drugs with this, right? And over time, what you find is the rat just keeps pressing the button to get the reward, like nonstop. They're addicted to that reward. Well, today we're the rats. We're here. We're pressing the button. We want the likes. We're swiping. We're doing all of that. We want that instant gratification. That's how our minds are trained today, particularly younger people. And so we need to think about how to work with this new mindset that people have. So yes, when you create content, it needs to be super engaging, and you definitely want to have what I would call snackable content, very short, to the point stuff that gives people exactly what they want in the shortest period of time. You also want content, when it comes to video, it's got to be engaging in the first few seconds. You need to hook people in so that they want to hear more about whatever story it is you're going to tell. You do that and you have a shot.
So, you have given a lot of positive advices in terms of how e-commerce businesses can boost. Now, since you have been working into this industry for a long, so can you just help out with some of the common mistakes that e-commerce businesses owners make in terms of, drafting their marketing strategy?
It's a good question. I would say the first mistake is don't just throw mud at the wall. And by that, I mean, I don't know if you use a similar expression in India, but it just means don't just try everything because you think that something's going to work. Don't do that. Put thought into the ideas you want to execute on and then do them really well. So instead of saying, you know what, I'm just going to put my content up on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and all the other platforms, and hopefully something sticks. Instead, you can do that, but it's the wrong mindset. The right mindset is to say, okay, how can I do TikTok really well? How can I do Facebook really well? And think in terms of the outcomes that you want. So if I create a video, what is the outcome that I want? Do I want someone to subscribe to my page? Do I want them to watch another video? Do I want them to buy my product? What is the actual outcome I want? So that's number one. Number two, I would say, go back to that concept of a funnel. Go back to that concept of a customer journey. Don't assume that somebody's going to see your ad and instantly they're going to buy something from you. That doesn't always happen, doesn't usually happen. Instead, think about how you can bring somebody into your community so that you can then sell them the products that they really want. Those would be some important points. And the last piece I'll share is on the operations side. Make sure you really have a good leadership style. And by that, I mean a lot of first-time business owners have no clue how to lead. I'm one of them. I was a terrible leader for a very long time. And a big part of that was I thought that people were money-oriented. I thought, just pay people money, they'll do the job, and they'll be happy and they'll do good work. No, people want purpose. People want to know that the work they do really matters. People want a sense of belonging. So when I talk about community, I'm not just talking about the community of your customers. I'm talking about the community that you build within your company. You want your team to know that they're part of something and that that you value them and their time. You do that as a small business owner, as a startup, you've got a shot. You've got a shot at building a good team where people stay with you even when you're a small business and you can't afford to pay them what maybe some bigger businesses can afford to pay. You give people that, and you've got a really good shot at building something meaningful.
Now, there's one last doubt that I personally have that I want to discuss, and that is regarding, let's say, if there is any e-commerce business that is into the initial stage. So what should they focus at their initial stage? They should focus more towards brand building, or they should focus towards the quality of products?
Okay, so you're saying if it's a brand new e-commerce business, do they want to focus on their product first or their brand first?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, the reason is because, when we see, as an e-commerce, so there are many, kind of great players out there, whether it might be Amazon, Flipkart, or there are many players. Now, if I am in a startup, no one will be knowing me. So there can be one point where I need to build my brand presence so that people can know who we are. Or the other point, it can be the other point is that I should be focusing on product, because definitely if I say I went on Amazon, there will be many products which might be having one or two stars.
Yeah, I understand. So there are a few pieces to this. The first piece is we need to agree on what it means to build a brand. Some people think your brand is your colors and your logo. Right? That's not true. It's not your brand. That's just the packaging. Your brand has a lot to do with what your values are, what your mission is, what your vision for the future is. These are the things that matter for your brand, and these are the things that drive the way you produce your products. Now, if you're just selling on Amazon, here's the truth. It's not your brand. It's their brand. It's their customers. You might do 7, 8, 9 figures in sales on Amazon, but guess what? Those aren't your customers. You don't have that email list. You can't can't sell to them directly. They're Amazon's customers, and they also get your data. So if you do a really good job, they may start competing with you. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I think that Amazon is a tremendous opportunity that certain types of businesses should include in their mix. If you're an e-commerce business, you have an e-commerce store, you're selling your own branded products, your products, I would say that you would want to focus on your brand first, because that's going to drive how you develop your products and your services. So let's say, for example, part of your brand is your core values, and one of your values is I want to bring happiness to my customers. Okay, I'm just making this up. You can plug in the right variables for your business, right? I want my customers to be really, really happy. And what does that mean? Well, it probably means that if I deliver a product to them, it's got to be a really good product. It needs to last. It shouldn't cause any anxiety because they can't figure out how it works. Probably means that if it requires instructions, that the instructions are very easy to understand. And it probably means that if I own this product, that I'm going to want to tell people that I own it because it makes me so happy. So let's say, for example, let's just say your product is something like an Apple Watch, right? If you achieve that, if you make your customers happy, they're going to wear their watch everywhere. They're going to create organic content on social media with their watch. They're going to show it to everybody, and they're going to buy the next model when it comes out. Right. So these are the things you want to think about when you're building your brand and when you're building your product. Now, if you're selling other people's products, then really it means that your brand is the service that you provide. So let's say, for example, you sell handbags on your e-commerce store, and you sell the same stuff everybody else has. You've got Gucci, Coach, Louis Vuitton, whatever brands you're selling, right? It's the same stuff. But what makes you different? What makes your service different? What makes it easier for people to find the stuff that they want? What makes it better for people to trust your recommendations when they haven't made a decision? These are the things to think about with your e-commerce business. So I would even go so far as to say that the usability of your website, the user interface, the way that the search functions is part of your brand. If somebody goes to your website and they can't find the products they want, and they don't get good recommendations, and they can't read reviews and all of that stuff, probably means that your brand needs work. And they're going to go somewhere else where they can buy the exact same products because they didn't have a good experience on your website. So I would put the user experience into the brand category if I'm choosing between brand and product. That's what I would say.
Okay, good. No, definitely. So you have, in a perfect way, you have handled this question, and you have given the perfect solution that anyone should be looking upon. Definitely, it will be more towards, creating at least a brand, especially if you are creating something unique and that, will differentiate. Because until you don't have brand, until people are not aware of your product, definitely it will be not good enough to have that quality. So definitely, this is valuable advice. Now, any last piece of advice that you would like to give, and then we can wind up?
I think we've covered a lot. What I would say is, as an agency owner, I mentioned I don't have anywhere near as many clients as I used to. I'm very selective about the businesses that I take on as clients, but I also still want to help people. So I've created a podcast. It's called Snackable Solutions, and it's a place where you can go to get those very short, snackable videos that help you build your business incrementally. So in other words, I don't believe that you can just become an overnight success, right? It takes time, but you can have incremental successes. So the idea behind Snackable Solutions is you go to our YouTube channel or our LinkedIn page or wherever, you watch one of these videos, it's like 1 to 5 minutes, and then we condense them down to 1 minute for TikTok and YouTube shorts. You watch one of these videos, you follow the steps, you get a little bit better. Some of it is about your mental wellness as a small business owner, making sure that you're doing things that help you cope with the very stressful life that we entrepreneurs have. And some of it is actionable in terms of how to build your business or how to build frameworks around your finances so that you become profitable. So, check out Snackable Solutions. That's my podcast. Or follow me on, connect with me, I should say, on LinkedIn. That's where I'm most active. Just Dennis Consorte, Consorte.
Sure. So we'll be placing the link of Evan on your YouTube and Evan on your also LinkedIn into our description section so that the audience can view and directly connect with you.
All right. That sounds great, Prince.
Great. So with this, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Dennis, for sharing your valuable advice with our audience. It was a pleasure having you on our show, and I would definitely love to have you back again.
Great. That sounds very good, Prince. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.